From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. That's right, spring is right around the corner. We have hit March, but until we start to see those flowers bloom, we have to, of course, bring in yet another batch of snow. Yeah, it's pretty cold outside. The snow is coming down as we speak, but we plan on keeping you warm and cozy here on our airwaves right here on WKAR AM 870 with a steaming hot Current Sports. It's going to be a fun-filled hour as we talk about Draymond Green deciding to apologize for his halftime tirade during the Golden State Warriors and Oklahoma City Thunder game this past Saturday. You'll get to hear what Draymond had to say in just a second. Also, Caris LeVert is deciding to call it a career at the University of Michigan. Yeah, say it ain't so. We'll talk about that. Also, we will introduce a new segment that features our very own Isaac Constance as he breaks down a kind of like a stat of the day, if you will. All right? Calculating with Constance makes its debut today. We'll also be diving into the world of MSU bike polo. Yes, bike polo, folks. I had a great time heading out to IM West to really check out what this sport entails. And, of course, we'll have Tickle Tuesday today. All of that as well as take your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners on this March 1st, brought to you by our own Brett Cast.
Thanks, Al. Now here's your quick hit headliners for March 1st. University of Michigan guard Caris LeVert has announced that he is done for the season, thus ending his college career. The Wolverine star player was injured in a game against Illinois on December 30th and has only played 11 minutes since. LeVert has been battling injuries all season and has been a projected first-round pick in the NBA draft. Now Oakland University's Kay Felder has also been named the Horizon League Player of the Week for the seventh time this season, breaking the record for most selections in a single season. The junior from Detroit Pershing High School leads the NCAA in assists and assists per game. Now on to Michigan State women's basketball. They have a pair of all Big Ten selections. Tori Jankowska has been named second team all Big Ten for the second time in her career, and Ariel Powers has been named the first team all Big Ten for the third consecutive season. Powers is now the only MSU player to ever earn three first team all Big Ten selections. Now, Izzo is known to have his teams ready for March, and now that it's March 1st, MSU has found themselves back up to number 2 in the latest AP poll. Michigan State has two games remaining before the Big Ten tournament, one on the road against Rutgers on Wednesday night, and at home versus Ohio State this Saturday at noon. Now, the Lansing Community College men's basketball team played Schoolcraft last night in the state championship game and lost 89-79. The Stars will now move on to the district tournament at Delta College later this week, hopefully to make a run at the national tournament. Now to high school girls hoops. Last night was districts in District 3 at Okemos. Jackson Northwest beat Jackson 51-31. Mason beat Holt 45-41. And in District 4 at Lansing Waverly, DeWitt won 65 to Lansing Eastern's 10. And East Lansing beat Hazlitt 60-42. Now on to tomorrow, Okemos will face Mason and Jackson Northwest will play Lansing Everett, while Grand Ledge plays East Lansing and DeWitt will play Lansing Waverly. The Detroit Red Wings got a big overtime win against the Dallas Stars last night, winning 3-2. Andreas Athanasiou scored the first two goals during regulation and Pavel Datsyuk scored the overtime winner. The Wings are now 32-20-11 and are in third place in the Atlantic Division. And last but not least, in an interview with a Lithuanian reporter, Dantas Matsiūnas, who the Pistons originally had traded for, criticized the Pistons' physical, claiming that it was, quote, a joke, claiming the Pistons simply changed their mind and used the injury as an excuse. Now, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts of any on any of those, please call us at 517-355-9527. Share what's on your mind, and you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet at AlMartinWKAR. Back to you, Al.
Yeah, yeah.
admit my mistakes. You know, I made a mistake. I admitted my mistakes to my mistakes to my teammates, my coaching staff. I apologize to my teammates and my coaching staff, this organization. That wasn't the right way to handle what needed to be handled. And as a leader of this team, I can't do that because it sets a bad precedence for how everything is ran around here, how everything should be ran, how everything has been ran, and how everything will be ran going forward. It won't happen again. It's, you know, something where my emotions kind of got ahead of me and I let my emotions get the best of me. However, I will never quit on my teammates. You know, some have reported, you know, I will never quit on my coaching staff. I will never quit on this organization. This organization has given me everything that I can ask for. And so, you know, I support and represent this organization to the best of my ability. And, you know, that's not who I am, that's not who I've been, and that's not who I will become. You know, but sometimes emotion as human, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody on this earth is perfect. If we were, there's no reason for us being here. So, you know, as a human being, I made a mistake. And like I said before, I apologize to my teammates, to everybody who I need to apologize to. It won't happen again. Now on the basketball and everything, so I'm done with that topic and I'm putting it behind me.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, happy, happy Tuesday. It is March now. Can you believe that? This year is already flying by. March is going to be a fantastic month. One of my favorite months out of the year because, of course, March Madness will ensue very, very soon. And from a local perspective, and much thanks to Brett Cass for riddling down our quick hit headliners today. He did a fantastic job. But it already has ensued, I guess you could say, when it comes to local hoops action. When it comes to girls high school basketball, of course, districts getting underway last night. A lot of fun games last night, as mentioned. You know, Jackson Northwest topping Jackson, Mason topping Holt. How about East Lansing over Hazlitt? Rob Smith, an impressive squad. An impressive squad that certainly can go all the way this year. So fun times that will embark throughout this entire month. Of course, the NCAA men's and women's basketball tourneys will take place very, very soon. We'll be heading out to Indy to, of course, cover the Big Ten tournament very, very soon. This being the final week of regular season action in men's college basketball. Just an exciting month, okay? Now, I know it's March. March brings about spring. Right now, it may not feel like that. Yeah, it's pretty bad outside right now, folks. And I know it's Super Tuesday. Many of you guys are hitting the poles today. Please drive safely. It's oogly outside, okay? But we are honored that we have are part of your, I guess you could say, weekday afternoon on this Tuesday. We've got a great show in store for you. And again, as I stated, to start the show, on the back end, we will be bringing you Tickle Tuesday. To you know, we like to bring a light feel each and every Tuesday to break away from all of the serious sports talk and have a little fun. And we'll bring you know, some funny moments that have occurred in the past week in the world of sports. So you don't want to miss that. Also, we'll be chatting about Donatas Mantatunas and his thoughts. I guess you say his thoughts on the conspiracy that he has put together concerning his failed physical, and he thinks that the Pistons had a lot to do with that. Yeah, he's blaming the Pistons organization for it, saying that they didn't really want me because of my history when it comes to being injured. Yeah, we'll chat about that. We'll also be bringing to our airwaves my MSU bike polo feature. I had a great time, At IM West, Isaac and myself, we went out to IM West on Friday and sat down with Tim Potter, who is actually the founder of the Michigan State University bike polo team. And we also chatted with the president of the Michigan State University bike polo team, Eddie Glazer, who was actually on our airwaves along with team member Caleb Trujillo a few weeks ago. And we got a chance to really see this sport up close and personal. Really interesting stuff. I mean, guys are getting on their bikes. They've got a mallet in their hand, and they're trying to whack around really the small, like, red ball into a respective net, okay? Kind of like soccer. Soccer on a bike with a mallet, okay? That's basically what it is. It's quite fascinating. And being on a bike, I mean, it's quite, you know, the task trying to maneuver that bike and coordinate yourself with the mallet in hand to try and smack at a ball while other bikes are coming at you, okay? We saw a few wipeouts that were also pretty interesting, okay, and pretty entertaining. And what I also found pretty fascinating was watching those who were at the weight room or playing basketball down the hall. When they would come and walk by the room in which the bike polo practice was taking place at, you know, they would take a peek in the window and say, what in the world is going on here? So we'll have that for you. And also we'll be debuting a segment, kind of like our stat of the day, you know, that's entitled Calculating with Constance, as Isaac Constance, our engineer, will be bringing you an interesting statistic and elaborating, and you'll get his thoughts on it, okay? Just your not your usual, you know, stat, you know, not your usual points, rebounds, or assists stat, okay? Kind of thinking outside the box here, so you don't want to miss that either. But what you just heard throughout that montage was Draymond Green. Draymond Green, of course, is a famed Michigan State men's basketball player who is now an NBA champion with the NBA's Golden State Warriors. He had a great career here at Michigan State, one of the most recognizable faces and one of the most recognizable leaders in all of Michigan State men's basketball lore. But he's had just an unbelievable career. He's only been in the league a few years here, but he's done some remarkable things. He was named to his very first NBA All-Star team this year. He actually leads the league in triple-doubles this season. He's become a catalyst on both ends of the court for this just eye-popping Golden State Warriors squad, which is the best team. You know, it's the best show on the hardwood right now, okay? The best show in basketball on earth. It's really fun to watch. But Draymond has been criticized for something that occurred during halftime of the Golden State and Oklahoma City Thunder game on Saturday. And what a game it was. I stated yesterday's show that I thought it was the most entertaining basketball game of the NBA year thus far, and I'm sure you won't find many that would argue otherwise. It went to overtime. Steph Curry hits, you know, one of the most memorable buzzer-beating shots of his career so far, pretty much from, you know, just a few feet inside half court. Unbelievable stuff from the left side of the court. But there was something that happened at halftime. Golden State really struggling to figure out OKC, and OKC, in my opinion, really gave that game away on Saturday evening. They had it in the books. Kevin Durant made some errant decisions that you just sit there and scratch your head about. But, you know, Golden State had their hands full when it came to slowing down Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook that night. And at halftime, it was reported by ESPN's own Lisa Salters that she could hear a voice coming from the locker room of the Golden State Warriors that sounded much like Draymond Green. Come to find out, it was his voice. It was a profanity-laced tirade in which he just went completely off. I actually tweeted about it. When Lisa came out and reported it, I sent a tweet about it, not expressing any opinion on the tirade, but just tweeting out that Lisa Salter says that Draymond Green is going just off in the locker room. And, you know, he got a lot of flack for it. Got a lot of flack from national pundits out there, from people on social media wondering what in the world was going on here. But first off, I want to make this point because I don't think a lot of people realize those who were, you know, really bashing Draymond for him just completely going off on Saturday night. I don't think a lot of people realize that this happens in locker rooms everywhere, okay? It happens in locker rooms everywhere. This is not out of the norm where a player just completely goes off at halftime or you know, in the post-game talk with the team in the locker room, okay? Coaches do it all the time. Players do it all the time. The thing is, it's not every day that a reporter is sitting right outside the locker room and can hear what's going on, okay? Lisa Salters just happened to be at the right place at the right time. She heard Draymond Green going off and decided to make it a part of her sideline report. It happens all the time, though. How many times, to put a local perspective on this conversation, I mean, how many times have we seen and heard Tom Izzo go completely off at halftime? How many times have I gone into locker rooms, interview Michigan State men's basketball players, and, you know, I asked them the cliche question in sports, so what did Coach tell you guys at halftime? And countless times, I don't have enough fingers to count how many times I've heard respective Michigan State men's basketball players say, oh, Coach went off. Coach Izzo went completely off on us. They don't get into specifically what he said because there'd be a lot of bleeps here on the airwaves. But, I mean, it happens. It happens in locker rooms everywhere, folks. So this is a normal thing, okay? I first want to make that statement known, all right? And the only reason that Draymond Green felt the need to come out and apologize about this, to come out to reporters and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I should not have handled myself in that way, is number one, because he got caught, I guess you can say, in quote-unquote caught by Lisa Salters. And number two, it's all about image. It's all about protecting image when it comes to these professional athletes. Draymond Green has been found to be a pretty marketable guy in the NBA world. He's got numerous endorsements. The latest I've seen, you know, I've seen a commercial with him and Kevin Hart. I mean, the last thing you want is negative press. Simple as that. For you going off and cursing left and right, you don't want to have negative press because it hurts your image. So Draymond Green, knowing that he was caught going off on his teammates and that it looked pretty ugly, I mean, he felt the need to come out and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I should have handled things differently. So that's my opinion as to why Draymond Green came out and felt the need to apologize, because this was about protecting his image. We would not have heard a Draymond Green apology if this wasn't broadcast in your living room. Simple as that. But there's a method to Draymond's madness, folks. I mean, Draymond, his emotion and passion are what makes him so valuable on the court for the Golden State Warriors. Simple as that. I mean, you talk to anybody on that team, they will tell you that Draymond Green is the heartbeat of that squad. He is the leader of that team. And every once in a while, a leader has to flip his wig. Simple as that. He felt like his team needed a jolt of energy. He went off at halftime, and what happened? Golden State goes on to rally. They make it close after being down double digits at one point in that game to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they go into overtime, push it to overtime, and win the game. And Steph Curry was asked about it directly after the game, what Draymond had to say, and he said, you know what, we needed it. We needed a kick in the butt. Draymond provided that, and our team responded. There's a method to Draymond's madness. But it just tickled me, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, first off, this is a team that's 53-5 right now. They have 17 of their next, 24 games at home. And they're going for, of course, that 95-96, Bulls record of 72-10, which is crazy. Anytime I think about that, Michael Jordan and company, Pippen and everybody. But, you know, they're gunning for that record. And right now this team is 24-0 at home, 42-game regular season win streak at Roracle Arena. I mean, they're going for history right here, 53-5. But there's components. There's components to this team as to why they're so successful. And Draymond Green is one of those foundational personalities, one of those foundational players as to why this team is where it's at. But I just found it comical how a lot of people wanted to bash Draymond Green for this when not looking at why he felt the need to go off at halftime, and not putting perspective that this happens all the time. So I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know. What do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Yeah, I side with Day-Day here, too, or I guess I actually oppose Day-Day. I don't think any apology was necessary because Lisa Salters, that was a great piece of reporting. We should know about things like that go on. But at the same time,
I disagree. I don't think we should know.
Really?
If you get a scoop like that where she just happens to be outside the locker room and she hears that, of course. It's a great scoop and hey, she decided to report it. I would have too, frankly, because
exactly.
it gives you insight as to what's happening. But I don't think that the viewer needs to know that.
No, it's
you know
not
I mean?
Necessary.
It's not necessary, exactly.
I'm with you there, but at the same time, if you can get it, might as well report it.
So of course,
I
right.
thought it was a good piece of reporting by her, but at the same time, Draymond didn't do anything wrong. He was in a locker room. Now, it sounded like the outburst was a little bit petulant and a little bit whiny at times to some of his teammates. Maybe he should have apologized to them personally for that, if that was the case. But at the end of the day, like Steph Curry said, they needed an injection of energy, and that's what Draymond provided them. Did it work? Yes. So I don't see why anybody's complaining whatsoever, especially if you're a Warriors fan, especially if you're happy with this team now winning another game, getting a step closer to clinching that Bulls record. I don't see what the problem is. And Draymond, he's a passionate guy on the court. He's done so many more questionable things during game time. I don't see why he's getting criticized behind closed doors.
Well, this is what I want people to realize, Isaac. When we see these players do interviews and we see these athletes in the public persona, it's not that, that persona that they put onto the public, it's not who they are. You know what I mean? We don't know if Draymond Green has had other tirades like this in a locker room.
Yeah.
This was just the first time Draymond, you know, at least it happened to hear Draymond in the locker room and said, you know what? Oh, man, this sounds pretty heated. Let me report this. I'm pretty sure Draymond Green has done this before.
Yeah,
this
he's experienced.
Yeah, this isn't the first time this has happened. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of people don't understand. What we see from these guys in the locker room on camera is not what goes on behind closed doors as a family, as a unit between each other. So I'm sure there were players sitting in that locker room looking at Draymond and saying, all right, yeah, this is Draymond just being Draymond. We need to hear this. You know what I mean? They're not flipping out and going crazy about this. You know what I mean?
No, I've had many locker room meetings that I can't repeat on this radio station. I've had other ones that I can, and it was this. Just total silence for 10 minutes. Coaches, players, they go off in the locker room. They express themselves in different ways. Mm-hmm. You can't fault them for that. In fact, they should be celebrated and extolled because of that. It shows that there's the level of passion in a game that you want to pay for, that you want to see.
Definitely. Again, there's a method to the madness, folks. 53-5, you can't argue with that. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527. Before we talk about Caris LeVert here, I want to bring up our top movie of all time competition. We do have final votes that are in. I want to give a special thanks to all of you out there, our current sports listeners who called in and voted throughout this entire process. But again, it is March 1st. The month that was Oscar month here on the show is now in the books. And we do have a top movie, sports movie of all time. Here's how the votes went. We dwindled this thing down, looking at matchups from 1 to 10. We started with 1 versus 10, 2 versus 9, 3 versus 8, 4 versus 7. You get the gist here. And then that brought about our top 5 list. And we held one day for you guys to go out there and vote and call into the show and vote out of the 5 movies that stood the test of time. Those 5 movies were Rocky, Hoosiers, Rudy, Remember the Titans, and The Mighty Ducks. Here's how the votes tallied from least to first. With 0 votes, which really shocked me, The Mighty Ducks came in dead last at number 5. Then we had a tie here. Well, no, I'll start with, so 0 for Mighty Ducks. With 2 votes, we had Hoosiers. So they came in, I guess you say, third place. We had a tie for second with Rudy and Remember the Titans at 3 votes apiece. And then, of course, the Rocky series took the cake with 6 votes, Isaac. So Rocky, it is proven that the Rocky series is the top dog when it comes to cinematic, photography in the world of sports movies. There we go. Rocky,
yeah,
we knew it was coming. This isn't a shock.
No, this is the Kentucky of last year. I was just hoping that Wisconsin would come along. But at the same time, it didn't, and I'm not surprised. I'll gladly take my punishment, watch all the movies, whatever we decide to do. So I accept and concede defeat, but yeah. I want people to know that they made the wrong decision. And also, listen, just one final rant. How is Rudy finishing with Remember the Titans? I understand Remember the Titans is a good movie. It is a good movie. I think Denzel Washington
it's better than
is
Rudy.
One of the best actors.
Remember
but
the Titans
you
is better
are
than Rudy.
So no. off your rocker.
Remember
are
the
you
Titans
kidding me?
Is a much better film than Rudy. It's got drama, unexpected drama.
Rudy is
a big, fluffy film that you know what's going to happen. It's like Hoosiers. You know, Rudy reminds me so much of Hoosiers. They're so boring.
No.
They're so drawn out. You know what's going to happen from scene to scene. It's just a boring movie. You know, I've seen it a few times. I've seen both of those films a few times. And Remember the Titans is one of those movies that if it comes on local TV,
I stop
what I'm doing. If
me
Rudy's
too.
On, I may watch like 5 minutes of it and say, all right, I'm getting sleepy here. I need to go do something. I need to go to the gym. I need to wake back up. All right.
Remember the Titans is fantastic, but it
hasn't
reached classic status. It
so,
hasn't
you, so you're
reached
basically, you're just basically going off reputation here. You're just going off reputation.
No, I'm not, or else I'd rank Rocky number one. Rocky's just not that good of a series. Sorry.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
But
this is coming from a man who hasn't seen Rocky.
I've seen Rocky. I just haven't seen all of the follow-ups.
Oh,
I've seen Rocky.
Gosh.
I've seen Rocky 4, and
so you,
I think
so
I've
you
seen
can't
Rocky
make,
2.
Again, this is the Rocky series winning
okay.
all these.
What's
you
the
can't
best
You can make
Rocky?
An educated vote,
What's
Isaac,
the best
if you have
Rocky?
Never seen Rocky 4, without a doubt. In my
I've
opinion,
seen
but,
Rocky
but that
4.
Varies. That varies. I think Rocky 4 is. You ask the next man, he may say the original Rocky. You may ask the next man, he may say Rocky 2 or Rocky 3 with Mr. T.
Listen,
who knows? I mean, it varies.
If Sylvester Stallone's acting,
and Creed.
I know what I want to know.
And what about
Creed? I
mean,
seriously.
You got to watch Creed.
I do want to watch
Creed. Creed's unbelievable.
I'll give you that. I want to watch Creed. But if Sylvester Stallone's acting, I kind of know what I need to know.
He won an Oscar.
He's decent.
He won an Oscar.
He overdramatizes everything.
In 1976, when Rocky came out, that is Stallone's only Oscar. He won an Oscar, and he won a Golden Globe for his role in Creed. So, I mean, you can't argue with
that. Yeah,
it,
well, man. The Oscars haven't been getting the best rap recently. I'm not sure if we should go by that.
I don't know. All right. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll have a rant on Caris LeVert missing the remainder of the season. I saw this coming from a mile away, folks. You don't want to miss that. We'll also be debuting our segment called Calculating with Constance. You don't want to miss that. Isaac will be taking the air on that one. And also, you get to hear my MSU bike polo feature. You don't want to miss that and more. Call and be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. You are listening to Current Sports.
Astronaut Scott Kelly is about to return from a year aboard the International Space Station.
I think the hardest part is being isolated, in a physical sense from people on the ground that are important to you.
His year in space and Super Tuesday reports from across the country later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
It is official, folks. Michigan guard Caris LeVert's college basketball career is finito, kaput, done. The man is looking ahead now to the NBA. After months of back and forth, U of M announced today that Caris LeVert is shutting down because of a left leg injury. Quote, after some prayer and talking it over with my family, Coach John Beilein and the medical staff, we all feel it is best for me to concentrate on getting fully healthy. There is still some discomfort that does not allow me to help this team the way I want. I am so thankful for what Coach Beilein, the assistants, and the medical staff have done for me during my collegiate career, and in particular, while I have dealt with these injuries. LeVert was injured late in the December 30th game at Illinois, missed 11 games before returning against Purdue on February 13th. But he played just 11 first-half minutes and sat out in the second half. Days later, Beilein announced that LeVert's pain reemerged and that he wouldn't play until he could practice, and that, frankly, has not happened. You know, I made a statement earlier this college basketball year about Caris LeVert not returning to this Michigan basketball team. And I had made a statement that Caris LeVert's eyes were well beyond college basketball, that his eyes were set on the NBA. And this is a man who is projected by some as a first-round selection in the NBA draft, in this year's upcoming NBA draft. Many people believe that Caris LeVert is a top 15, top 20 pick right now. And looking at this and LeVert's decision to not really practice, not exhaust himself in any college basketball game, one, I think it came from fear. I think this is all rooted in fear as to why Caris LeVert has decided not to return. And what I mean by that is Caris LeVert is afraid of getting injured again in the college basketball realm and possibly hurting his NBA draft stock. That's a very logical thought here, folks, because this is a man that broke his foot not one, but two times. Again, he's like one of the biggest what-ifs in maize and blue hoop history now, you know, because LeVert, I mean, before he got injured, I mean, my goodness, he had a breakout sophomore year. I mean, this is a guy who was 6'7". I mean, he showed he could do everything. Multifaceted. He's got a great first step. He can hit the mid-range jumper. He can hit the three-pointer. He can kill you on the break. He's got relatively solid court vision. He's an animal, a beast on the basketball court. But he broke his left foot late that year, his sophomore season, and had off-season surgery. And then what happens? He returns for his junior year and breaks it again in mid-January. Another surgery that ended that season. So when looking at these NBA scouts saying that LeVert is certainly a first-round pick in the NBA draft and knowing that you've had two surgeries to your foot, and, you know, you want to come back for your team. And, you know, right now this team is on the bubble. You know, Michigan is certainly not winning a national championship this year. Let's just keep it real here, folks. I mean, this squad, they're on the bubble right now. Who knows if they will even make the NCAA tourney. They'll need a really solid showing in the Big Ten tournament, if you ask me. This isn't a team that's going to be hoisting up a national championship trophy. So if you're LeVert, you're like, okay, why should I go back out there? I'm already a first-round pick in many NBA scouts' eyes. Why should I go back out there and possibly risk yet another injury that would hurt my NBA draft stock? My eyes are set on the NBA. It makes no sense for me to come back. So I saw this coming from a mile away. Anyone out there, when really looking at LeVert's career, saw this coming. He's a very talented young man, and I'm looking forward to seeing him at the next level. But I really can't blame the kid for saying, you know what, this season, I don't see it really going anywhere. You know what, I'm thinking I'm just going to hang this up. Get well, make sure I'm ready for those NBA tryouts, okay? Because I'm ready to make some money right now, and I don't want to hurt my wallet. Simple as that. Isaac, what do you think about this story?
Yeah, Al, first off, I've just got to give you this. I mean, no, seriously, you came out sounding like a conspiracy theorist. You walk away sounding like a genius because you're exactly right. I mean, this guy, he played 11 minutes against Purdue earlier in the season, so he obviously had the ability to go at least somewhat at 80% or whatever it may be.
Right.
And now they're shutting him down for the rest of the season. There's no chance that this guy returns next year. Like you said, he's got his eyes set on jewels and crowns. So he's got his mindset totally already geared for the NBA, and he's gone. So this is a move just saying, listen, I'm not going to risk further injury. I don't want to drop out of the top 20, the top 25 in the NBA draft where I can really display my talents to their full ability.
And so, can you really blame him?
No, you can't.
You know?
I mean, this Michigan team probably is – I mean, you can argue that they might make them NIT this year, might make the NCAA tournament. They're right on the bubble of where they'll end up. So – even if they make the NCAA tournament, though, where do they go? I think they go out in the first, second round, maybe. So, you know, him leaving early, it's not a big deal. And when it comes to these college players and injuries, you can never really fault them for leaving early. This is their career that's on the line. They shouldn't have to take any sort of risk to keep that going.
And this is their livelihood. I mean, if Caris LeVert is a first-round pick, I mean, we're talking about thousands of dollars that could go towards his mama.
Millions.
You know what I mean?
Millions.
You know, millions. Exactly. I mean, money that can go towards his family. It completely changes his life. So you don't want to play around with that. So I can't blame the kid. I think he's making the right move when it comes to his individual basketball career here, without a doubt. And again, for Michigan, again, this is a team that's on the bubble. I mean, you know, looking at, you know, some basketball analysts out there, national pundits out there that are breaking down bracketology as we speak, I mean, they have Michigan, I don't even know if they're inside the bubble right now. I think they're outside of it, trying to get in the bubble. Because if you look at it, I mean, they haven't had that notable win, that big win you look at and say, okay, all right, they had a great stretch right here. I mean, they play Iowa to finish out the year. I think they would need to beat Iowa. And when do they play Iowa? Let's see. What, Saturday? So they got essentially a bye week here to rest up. They play Iowa this Saturday.
Well, how much of a quality win would that be even? Iowa's
exactly.
A cupcake
and I was just about to say that. Iowa's lost three straight now. You know, and they're sitting there. They have the same conference record as Michigan State and three other teams now. So you look at Iowa and you say, okay, how big of a win would that need to be? So they would need to beat Iowa and then have a solid showing in the Big Ten tournament for them to be an NCAA tournament, a sure NCAA tournament team this year. So if you're LeVert, you're looking at these possibilities and these what-ifs and saying, yeah, I'm done. I'm checking out. I feel exactly where he's coming from. Folks, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we dive into the fascinating world of bike polo here, we want to debut a new segment here to WKAR's Current Sports, as we have been doing throughout the past few weeks here on the show. And, you know, this one was actually brought to us by our very own Brad Walker here at WKAR. Yeah, thank you, Brad. It was a brilliant idea. And it wasn't Brad. I don't want to give Brad all the credit here, because it wasn't really his idea. It was his son's idea, Ryan Walker, who is a fantastic, fantastic kid. I got a chance to meet him a few months ago when I was broadcasting a game, doing some play-by-play with Eric Doc Love for the team 92.1 FM. And Brad and Ryan, that's Brad's son, they happened to be at the game. They came up to the booth before I got on the air. And he's just a fantastic young kid who I think has a bright future when it comes to the game of baseball. I mean, he's a really good baseball player. But he was listening to us one day. And I believe, Isaac, you were on some sort of rant. And
of
you
course.
Exactly, like always.
That's all the time. Yeah.
All the time, right? And you were throwing out a lot of numbers.
I know exactly to what he's referring. It was the Big Ten championship game, Iowa versus Michigan State. And I just gave the statistic that Michigan State, on that last drive, that memorable drive where L.J. Scott punched it in, averaged 3.4 yards per play.
Right.
And you need 3.4 to keep the drive. Or, no, you need 3.4 to keep it going. They were averaging 3.8 yards per play.
Just over that. Well, remarkable drive to win the Big Ten championship, you know, out in Indy. Remarkable. And, you know, I guess Ryan was listening to that show and he was like, you know what? That's an interesting stat. Why don't they have something like Math with Isaac on the show? So we decided, why not? That's a brilliant segment. Here is the debut on today's show of Calculating with Constance. Here we go.
Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing. So get off your ass, let's do some math. Math, 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 math.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining. The brilliant shooting of Stephen Curry continues.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Al, and thank you, Jack Black. First off, that's a great movie, School of Rock. I gotta give him a shout-out. That was my favorite childhood movie, but mine can only be one thing. Steph Curry. His three-point pace this season is unmatched. 538 recently came out with an article which detailed just how unprecedented it's been, and it's really incredible. This pace that he's on has him going 400 threes on the season by their calculations. I mixed that up a little bit, and I got some new stats. I got 407 threes on the season, and briefly I'll tell you how I did that. Cross multiplication. So basically you divide the amount of games he's played, you get a proportion, a ratio of that, and the threes he's made so far. Then by cross multiplying, you can divide and get the projected total based on the games in the season. It's really interesting.
You just lost me, but that's why I was a journalism major in college. But man, that's very interesting.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, that's calculus for you.
So let's put that in perspective. So he's on pace according to your calculations. With that, again, describe that formula.
So basically, it's cross multiplication. I think this is pre-calculus, if I'm not mistaken. So what you do is you take a ratio. So they've played 58 games so far, the Warriors, and Steph Curry's actually only played in 56 of those. But you take 58 divided by 82. Then you take 288 threes over an undefined total. When you multiply
an undefined total.
Unidentified total.
Unidentified total. Okay.
Basically, when you multiply, cross multiply those, you get an X on one side of the unidentified variable. Then you can divide.
Oh my gosh! You just lost all of us right there. You lost us right there. But that's interesting. So during those calculations, what's the stat you came up with?
So 407 threes is why I reached, and that's with Steph Curry not playing two games this season. With those two games, he'd be even further ahead. And remember, the total record, which he set this year, this year with 24 games to play, is 288. So the next thing I want to go into is the percent of assisted threes that he has. Reggie Miller, third best three-point shooter of all time, 90% of his threes were assisted. Ray Allen, 84.6% were. Steph Curry, 60. Al, both you and I played basketball. Coming off a dribble to hit a shot is incredibly difficult, especially in the NBA where players close out so much quicker. Right now, Steph Curry is doing that for most or nearly most of his shots. This season, 55% of his threes are assisted. The other 45%, that's all him off the flashy dribbling that you'll see on the highlight reel.
Wow, that just puts in perspective just how good Steph Curry is. That was fantastic, guys. Give it up. Give yourself a hand.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
There we go. And wow. If you want a few more tidbits,
just real quickly, you got some more. Okay, go ahead.
Just have a little bit more. But right now, if you put that in other perspectives, and this is courtesy of 538, this is not me, but on track for 102 home runs, if you compare that to the baseball record, 367 hits. 367, that means you hit the 3,000 club in less than 10 years. 2,947 rushing yards. Record is 2,105 or 77 touchdown passes compared to Peyton Manning's 55 touchdown record. So pretty incredible there. Clay is projected for 253 threes this season. I mean, that in itself is incredible. Nearly touches Ray Allen's record. But Steph, he's just so far ahead of everybody else.
He is, man. That's really remarkable stuff. Steph Curry, again, what we are seeing, folks, it's rare. It's rare, and the numbers show it. All right, let's hit our second break. Again, that was Calculating with Constance. Thank you, Isaac Constance, for that. When we come back, you get a chance to hear my MSU bike polo feature. That's right. I went out to IM West. Got a chance to check out what this sport is all about. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right, folks, let's talk about bike polo for a second. Yeah, bike polo. I kid you not, folks. Now, it was founded in the early 2000s. The MSU bike polo team has been drawing a lot of attention over the years for being different from your typical sport, okay? The team has steadily grown, catering to average bicycle riders who want to spice up their time on two wheels. Now, I made the trip to IM West on the campus of Michigan State University to chat with Michigan State University bike polo team president Edward Glazer and founder Tim Potter. And what I found was a direct parallel to the sport of bike polo and everyday bike commuters.
All right.
Whoa. What is this? What in the world?
I gotta know what the reaction is when people walk by this room and look in that window and see what you guys are doing.
They just stop. you know, wherever they're on their way to, they stop and watch us for a little while, especially if we crash. That's when you get the most drop jaws and big eyes.
Modern hard court bike polo was birthed in the early 2000s, started by a group of messengers who had a bit of downtime on their hands.
Yeah!
Little touch. Nice work. Did you get that on video?
I did.
On one hot spring afternoon in 2003, the MSU Bike Project, they were also bored. And that's exactly what brought the sport here to existence at Michigan State.
They were just kind of goofing around with some extra messed up bikes that they had, bikes they didn't really care about, and they were just looking for a way to ride more and come up with new ideas, new things to do.
We had this box of plastic bats like you'd use for wiffle ball, and you know they were down in the space, and we didn't really know where they came from, but there were wiffle balls, and we thought, why don't we go out front of Dem Hall and just whack the ball around and play some bike polo. And so we, rather than just being indoors when it was so nice out. So that's kind of how it started. You know, we just went outside in the grassy area and started riding our bikes around, whacking the wiffle balls with the bats. So
the sport is pretty simple, or at least it sounds that way. Games last up to 15 minutes, usually played with a first to five goals rule. Teams begin the match lined up on opposite ends of the court, ball placed in the middle.
And you say 3-2-1 bike polo. And that starts the joust. The jousters come at each other, aiming for the ball, and whoever gets there first ends up with first possession.
Okay, I must admit, my competitive ego got to me. I had to try this sport out. So after rolling up my pants, exposing my funky, fresh Stacy Adams footwear, it was time to ride. I totally whiffed on the first attempt of meeting mallet to ball. And after a close wipeout that would have taken out our tripod, I finally got it.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's good.
Come on, just like riding a bike, baby.
The sport of bike polo opens the door to a bigger conversation. Most of those participating in the sport are year-round bike enthusiasts who commute regularly using bike lanes in and around campus. Now, the conflict between driver and biker is one that has always existed. But the real question is, can the two coexist?
I used to be really, really negative about it. And because having lived in Asia and having lived in other places, that biking is much more accepted form of transportation. But things have really, really changed here the last 4 or 5 years in particular, and it's become a lot more bicycle friendly.
I mean, I get that conflict a little bit in the early part of the year when they haven't, a lot of motorists haven't seen bicyclists on the road for 3 or 4 or 5 months, and then all of a sudden they see me, and then they, I get a few honks in the spring, but after that it's like the rest of the year I don't have any issues, and I ride right down Grand River.
A lot of drivers are just not educated about the rights and responsibilities they have towards cyclists and cyclists towards them. And just similarly, I don't blame everything on drivers. I'm a driver too. Cyclists need to be more educated about issues, not riding on the sidewalk, that they are responsible to stop for red lights, those sorts of things.
The cold may be keeping many bicyclists away for now, but when the spring days begin to bring out these fearless two-wheel warriors, know that the road is big enough for the both of you, no matter what you, running late for class, may argue otherwise. Next time, take a bike. I'm Al Martin at IM West on the campus of Michigan State University. For WKAR's Current Sports.
I just protected myself.
Oh, that was a fun feature to do, folks. Again, if you want to check out the visual, I should say, of that story, you can go to WKAR.org right now. And, of course, just go to the Current Sports radio page. It was a fantastic time heading out there. Isaac Constance did a great job of helping me out with the shoot. But it's such an interesting dynamic here. And I wanted to include, not only what the sport is about, because, of course, your curiosity peaks when you hear the words bike and polo together. You say, okay, what in the world is that? I didn't want to just riddle our viewers and our listeners with images of what the sport entails, but also to relate it to a common problem that we see, not just here in East Lansing, but everywhere, really. I think bike culture has grown over the years because of our economy. More people want to save, without a doubt. You know, they don't want to spend money on gas left and right, especially if the weather's nice. Why not use a bike? It's a free form of transportation to get to point A to B, especially if point B is very, very close to A. And what we find is this conflict of driver and biker on the road, left and right. Because I used to be one of those individuals that will be driving my car, and then all of a sudden, you know, I look to my right and this biker is right next to my car, completely annoying me. Get out my way. Go on the sidewalk. Why are you on the street with us cars? And it's this interesting, like you know, clash that happens all the time, Isaac.
And Al, you and I had this discussion last year because I'm a cyclist myself.
You are, right.
Cycling's a community, first off. So I thought you did a great job of tying these two in together. Bike polo, these guys might play their own sport, but at the same time, when it all comes down to the end of the day, these are bike lovers as well, and they ride on the roads just like everybody else. So some tips for the people listening. When you pass a bike, you need to give them 3 feet of space. That's the general requirement. That's how it keeps space. So even if at the most inopportune moment the bike were to topple over, you still avoid them as you drive by. It's a dangerous sport.
But the thing is, people don't know this stuff.
People,
you know what
don't.
I mean? And that's why I think it was such an interesting bike that I needed to include in that piece about at the very end when you heard Edwards say that it's all about education on both sides. It's not just the driver understanding,
exactly,
you know, the legal, you know, implications when sharing the road with the biker, but vice versa as well. Bikers,
yes,
understanding that cars are on the road and what to do and what not to do.
Well,
it's a two-edged sword here.
Exactly, because when bikes are on the road, they have the exact same rights as cars, but they also have the exact same responsibilities. So they can take up a full lane if they want. They're entitled to that, and it's your job to respect that as a driver. However, bikes on the road also have to realize red lights aren't just for cars. They need to stop at those to wait their turn before passing. Being on the road is a privilege as well as a right for them, and they need to learn that all of the rules that apply to drivers apply both ways.
Definitely. I totally agree. And, of course, we also covered the sport itself. And if you want to check out me embarrass myself on television, we'll be airing.
It wasn't that bad, in fairness.
It wasn't that bad. It was fun.
You included the good part, too. But
yeah,
at the same time, it was better than my attempt.
Right. I almost crashed into our tripod, really. I mean, if you want to check out the visual. Again, we'll be airing it on Current Sports TV later this month, but you can simply, again, just go to WKR.org, go to the Current Sports page, and check it out. It's right there. You'll see me on the bike with the mallet pointing at the camera. So very, very fun feature. Again, thanks to the MSU Bike Polo Club for inviting us out to IM West for that practice, for that shoot. Eddie Glazer, Caleb Trujillo, and also Tim Potter, who is one of the founders of the MSU bike polo team. All right, well, about 5 minutes left in the show, to be exact. 517-355-9527. Call in if you want to be a part of the show still. Get a quick call in. But in the meantime, it is Tuesday, and we also have, we debuted this segment, I believe, like 2 weeks ago, Tickle Tuesday, where, again, we know how the work week can be, okay, folks? We know how that grind can be at the very beginning of the week, you know, going to meetings and going to class, you know, the weekend seems so far away, Friday seems so far away. We know how that can be, all right? So we want to take the edge off by bringing you a segment each and every Tuesday entitled Tickle Tuesday, where we bring to you some of the funniest moments in the sporting world. Here we go.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
Oh boy, how can you not love that open for Tickle Tuesday? All right, folks, well, here are some of my favorite funny moments from the sporting world. If you guys remember, former Detroit Tigers star Yoenis Cespedes, he's now with the New York Mets. He has been making headlines left and right. I don't know if you guys saw this story, but Cespedes was back in the saddle at spring training on Monday, okay, yesterday, riding a horse to the ballpark. I kid you not, okay? Along with pitcher Noah Syndergaard. Now, he's already flossed a tricked-out Polaris, a tricked-out Lambo, a tricked-out Jeep, and a customized truck. So why not a horse?
Yeah, it's hilarious stuff, folks. If you want to check out Cespedes on a Horse, just a quick Google. Also, Cespedes had so much fun at the St. Lucie County Fair on Saturday night that he returned a day later, and get this, he purchased a $7,000 grand champion hog raised by a local 4-H member. I don't even know what a 4-H member is, but Sandy Kronick of Port St. Lucie, Florida, said her 14-year-old grandson, Cole Pallas, raised the hog, which won its 270-pound weight class, then prevailed over 25 to 30 other champion hogs of assorted weight. So Cespedes, he just has all these quirky stories. He's just a fun guy. That's the guy you want to hang out with.
Is he going to ride in on the pig now?
No. The hog probably could hold him.
Could.
I mean, it's 270 pounds. It's a very cool-looking hog as well. But Cespedes, man, he's just a fun guy. That's the kind of guy you want to go out on a night on the town with. He just seems like a fun guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, you talk about Draymond in the locker room. I'm not sure how Cespedes would respond in that situation, but I'm sure there would be some sort of animal involved, chiding his teammates, getting them involved.
Hilarious stuff, man. Also, I got to point out this, okay? Hot Atlanta Falcons cheerleader. Just completely destroyed Rich Eisen in a 40-yard dash. I don't know if you saw this, but an Atlanta Falcons cheerleader destroyed Rich Eisen, who was formerly of ESPN. He did SportsCenter. Now he's on the NFL Network. They raced, and he was legitimately trying, too. I mean, Rich Eisen tried to put on the Jets here. In a 40-yard dash, it's a glorious, glorious video, okay? The NFL Combine in full swing. Again, NFL teams are out there. Rich Eisen decided to have some fun on the air. Eisen put up a pretty decent number, though, at the main event, the 40-yard dash in Indy. He ran a 5.9, which isn't bad for Rich Eisen.
No,
he's kind of up there. Not bad at all. But Katie, that's the Atlanta Falcons cheerleader, she put up a 5.7 in the 40-yard dash. So to his credit, I will say that there are many guys who probably would have lost to Katie that day,
yeah,
okay? Without a doubt.
I think you're being a little bit harsh, and we all are criticizing Rich Eisen. Just like our parents used to tell us, the only person you should compete against is yourself. And Rich Eisen set a personal best. Congrats to him. He should be celebrating,
right,
popping some champagne right now, but I'm sure he's busy working.
Yeah, again, Hotlanta Falcons cheerleader again, Katie. Hey, props to her. She was unbelievable. Check out the video. And also, Floyd Mayweather, and I don't know if this is comical to the degree that this is a 14-year-old kid, well, 15-year-old prodigy, I guess you could say, and it shows you how the world of recruiting is, even in the world of boxing. His name is Lorenzo Truck Simpson. He is a 15-year-old fighting prodigy, reportedly has a record of 145-2. Floyd Mayweather wants to sign this kid to the money team. You got to check out this kid. He's unbelievable at what he does, though. So I don't know if that's comical, but yeah, it's unbelievable stuff, all right? Well, all right, folks, well, we are out of time. Again, thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people. Stay warm.